It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and you'll want to get your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 4. You may also want to go ahead and look ahead and mark in your Bible Matthew chapter 25, because we're going to be reading from that chapter in just a moment. We're in the middle of a Sunday school lesson where Jesus had come to the synagogue of his hometown in Nazareth, and where he read from the prophet Isaiah that Messiah to come would come to the poor. You know, Jesus had said on the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." He's talking about the humble. But Jesus also came to those who were poor in the flesh. And quite often those things go together. Because to suffer poverty is to be humiliated. And that humiliation can cause us to be humble. And if we will be humble and turned to God, then we will become rich indeed. Not necessarily in the passing things of a material world, but in those eternal things of the Spirit. And that is to be rich indeed. Well, Jesus came to the poor, and as Christians, we are to care for the poor. And what I'm going to do is to read some of the passages from the New Testament that tells us about how that we are to model Christ in caring for the poor. And then we're going to proceed with this Sunday school lesson. Now, before I do, I want to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, there's three passages I want to read. The first one quite lengthy, from Matthew chapter 25, and then two verses, one from Galatians 2 and verse 10, and then from James 1 and verse 27. Now, here's Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 through 46. "But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd separateth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set up the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or athirst and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it unto one of these my brethren, even the least, ye did it unto me. Then shall he say also to them on the left, Depart from me, ye cursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of these least, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away, unto eternal punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. Now the next passage I read is from the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10. And it is when those who were in Jerusalem and the elders at Jerusalem admonished Paul. And it says they would that we should remember the poor, which very thing I was zealous to do. And then the third passage comes from James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Looking after the temporal wants and the salvation of the poor is so contrary to the spirit of the world that it was evidence to John the Baptist that Jesus was the Christ because, as it says, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 5, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Christianity has done great things for the poor. We can see this when we compare the conditions of the poor where Christianity is with that of the poor where it is not. The gospel is printed, the Bible is published, and sent without cost to every poor home in the land, and it is translated into the various languages and dialects of the earth and scattered without money and without price. Schools all over Christian lands are open to the poor, so they can all learn to read, and therefore to read for themselves the Word of God. Colleges, public libraries, and art galleries are open unto them. Asylums, hospitals, sanitariums, widows and orphans' homes, houses of refuge, and various other benevolent institutions have been provided for the needy. This is not the case where Christianity is not known. These reflect the light of the Sun of Righteousness, as the moon reflects that of the King of Day. Were there no sun, there would be no light for the moon to reflect. Where there is no Christ, every continent would be the dark continent. Much more remains to be done along this line in carrying out the gospel mission, the glorious mission of the gospel. But all that has been accomplished has been done through the influence of Christianity. Through the influence of Christianity, now bloodthirsty nations may learn and practice war no more, while Christians cease in the diabolical work of enticing war when they become Christians. The church, then Christ, preaches the gospel to all the poor, to those who are humble and poor in spirit, Matthew 5 and verse 3, and to poor sinners doomed to everlasting destruction unless they repent. Christ is the water of life to the thirsty, the bread of life to the hungry, the light of the world to all who are in darkness, the great physician and the balm in Gilead to the afflicted and to those who mourn. Hence, He heals the brokenhearted, those who are broken down and overwhelmed with sorrow. How consoling, how healing to the bleeding heart are the precious and exceeding great promises of Jesus. He preached deliverance to the captive, of which deliverance from Babylon was a type. Everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin, it says in John 8 and verse 34. All slaves of evil habits, of fleshly passions like intemperance, worldly pride, and vanity, are set free by Jesus. Note what Christianity has done in the way of prison reforms and the freedom of literal slaves. Jesus opened the eyes of the literally blind, and Christianity has erected blind asylums and made books that the blind can read. But Jesus has opened the eyes of the ignorant and of the spiritually blind, pointing them to heaven and to the highest aims and hopes of true life. Jesus did all this while on earth, but what He did in person is only an earnest of what His church would afterwards accomplish in the same great work Christianity today is known by its fruits. Now let me get back to the text of John chapter 4. And I'll read verses 16 through 19. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he entered, as was his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book, and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he appointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. And he sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's verse 19. Luke chapter 4, 19. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord was the time when all this would be fulfilled. The deliverer, and therefore deliverance, had come. He would save men from sin and eternal death. This is probably a reference to the Jewish year of Jubilee that we read about in Luke chapter 25, verses 8 through 17. This year, to the Jews, was full of great promise and blessings, and the landed property went back to the owner through the property had to sell it, and the captives were set free. The rest of the prophecy Jesus did not read. The next line says, "All the day of vengeance of our God." That time had not yet come, but it would come to all the disobedient. Jesus did afterward proclaim it in his solemn warnings to the rebellious cities where he labored. Now we're going to look at Jesus' discourse on that passage. We read in Luke chapter 4 and verse 20 that he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fastened upon him. When he gave it to the attendant, it was his whose business it was to put the book back in its place, and care for it and for the building. Back of the platform or stand upon which the reader stood was an ark in which the sacred books were kept. It was custom to stand while reading, but to sit while preaching. Hence the eyes of all the synagogue were fastened on him, eager to hear what he would say upon the text. All eyes were focused upon him, and the prophecy is fulfilled in him. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 21 we read, "And he began to say unto them, Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears." It was without equivocation that he announced that the prophecy just read was applicable to himself and was fulfilled that day before them. In Luke 4 and verse 22, it says, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son?" His words were full of mystery, tenderness, truth, and love, filling the afflicted with consolation and hope. And all bear witness, their countenance and attitude showing that they understood him. Perhaps his mother and brethren were present. They all showed their astonishment in the question, "Is this not Joseph's son?" How could their fellow townsmen, a poor carpenter, a laboring man, and the son of a carpenter, say and do such things? At this thought their feelings were changed, and they became at once bitter toward him. And Jesus perceived it. He said in verse 23, "Doubtless you will say unto me this parable, Physician, heal thyself." That is, as he explains, to let him do at Nazareth all the wonders he has performed at Capernaum. Jesus had been to Capernaum already. And a few months before this visit to Nazareth, he had healed the nobleman's son there. Doubtless he performed other miracles there, and the people of Nazareth had heard of this and wished him to repeat the miracles and do the same thing here. They did not believe, it seems, what they had heard. We'll continue in next class.